I'm going to get straight into what I'm going to be saying this morning. Time is whizzing by. I just want to ask you a question just to start off with. If you were in front of Jesus right now, or if you had that opportunity to ask Jesus a question, what question would you ask Jesus? Only one question. Just imagine for a moment that Jesus is in front of you, and you have that opportunity to ask him just one question. What question would you ask? Just keep thinking about that as I just introduce what I'm preaching about today. I've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke, and under the title that Jesus is for everyone, and Jesus is for everyone. Last time we were looking at the fact that God is sovereign over all, that Jesus is Lord over all spiritual and secular powers. Today, we're looking at don't argue with Jesus. Listen, learn, and encounter him. And my first point is don't ask Jesus stupid questions. And I'm going to ask Jadira to come up and give us the reading today, because I think you'll see why I'm saying that. Yeah.
Okay. The reading is taken from Luke 27 to 39. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second, and then the third, married her. And in the same way, the seven died, leaving no children. Finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of taking part in the age to come and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And they can no longer die, for they are like the angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. But in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise, for he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, "Well said, teacher," and no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen.
Amen. Well done, Jadira. Thank you so much for reading that that unusual part of the Gospel of Luke. And so the Sadducees, these religious people, had Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, standing in front of them. He's done amazing miracles, including raising people from the dead. He's amazed people with his teaching. He's just entered Jerusalem as the Messiah. He's driven out the money changers. He's just made this incredible statement we were looking at last week. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And the Sadducees could have asked him any important question. They could have asked Jesus the way to God. They could ask Jesus how their sins could be forgiven. They could ask Jesus how they could know Jesus, know God better, how they could experience God's power at work in their lives. They could even have asked Jesus to heal their sick relatives. But instead, they ask him a stupid, ridiculous scenario question. This scenario where a woman marries and outlives seven brothers, which one would she be married to in heaven? You see, they're not interested in listening to Jesus. They're not interested in learning from Jesus. They're not interested in encountering God. They just want to try and catch Jesus out, don't they? They don't think they need to listen and learn from Jesus. They think that they already know the truth. They have already decided that there is no resurrection. There's no life after death. They have their theology all worked out, and they are convinced that they are right. And they are sure that the Pharisees, the other religious people, are wrong because they do believe in the resurrection. And the Sadducees think that only they have the truth. The Sadducees have no humility. They are convinced that they are right and that Jesus and everyone else has got it wrong. Does that sound familiar? Do you know a few Christians like that? Are you like that? You see, the Sadducees have based all their theology, all their teaching on the first five books of the Bible, which is known as the Torah or the Law. And to be fair, in those five books, first five books of the Bible, there isn't a lot about resurrection. So they had decided that there was no life after death, there was no resurrection. And they ignored what the rest of the Old Testament said about life after death and resurrection. Jacob had said, the Job brother had said, one of the oldest books in the Bible, he said, "Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer lives." Sadducees just ignored that, didn't they? No, not believing that. They ignored what David wrote in Psalm 16. "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You have made to me known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." David believed in life after death. He believed in resurrection. He believed that he would spend eternity with God in heaven. The Sadducees ignored all the Old Testament prophets taught about life after death and the resurrection. Like Isaiah 25:8, "He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces." How's that going to happen if there's no resurrection? Ignoring Ezekiel 37 with the prophecy of the dry bones coming to life. You'll know that prophecy. But the Sadducees had convinced themselves that the Old Testament didn't teach there was life after death or the resurrection. Do you know you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say? All you have to do is just to choose the text that you agree with and ignore the rest. You know, the tragedy of the church and of Christianity is that Christians have used the Bible to justify some terrible things. They've used the Bible to justify ethnic cleansing, slavery, racism, injustice, war, heresy, and some very, very weird theological ideas. Nowadays, Christians are using the Bible to justify LGBTQ, tolerance, you know, far-right politics, far-left politics, syncretisms that all religions lead to the same God, etc., etc. But you know, it's vital that we base, as Christians, our belief, our theology, and our lifestyle on the whole Bible, on the whole Word of God. Don't just pick out your favorite bits that you agree with and build a theology around what you already think. Actually submit your life to the authority of the Word of God. So getting back to the Sadducees and their stupid question and their refusal to believe in the resurrections, in the resurrection. In the other Gospels, Jesus says, when he tells this story, when the story is written down, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. So they don't know the scriptures, they don't know the Bible, and they don't know the power of God. And they're asking this question to Jesus, who is famous for the raising of Lazarus from the dead. They're asking this question and saying there's no resurrection to the one who has raised the widow's son on the way at Nain. Do you remember that? They're coming out of the city. The young man's in the coffin, dead as a dodo. And Jesus comes along and raises him back to life and gives him back, restores him back to his mother, who's a widow. They are denying the resurrection to the one who has said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will have eternal life." Praise God. You know, we read that at most Christian funerals. "I am the resurrection and the life," says Jesus. "He who believes, whoever believes in me will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will have eternal life." That is our hope. You know, if we don't believe in the resurrection, there was absolutely no point in you coming to church today. You may as well sat at home and watch telly or gone to Meadow Hill or wherever you want to go, you know, to go shopping and worship at that cathedral there, the god of money or whatever you might have done. Because if there's no resurrection, we have no hope, folks. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will have eternal life." These Sadducees may have been religious, but actually they were full of doubt and unbelief, weren't they? Did you know you can be very religious, but be a total unbeliever, full of doubt? In a few weeks, or a few days, a few weeks, the Sadducees were going to look even more stupid, because Jesus is going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried in the tomb. Then on the third day, he's going to rise victorious from the dead. What are the Sadducees going to do then? You see, don't come to Jesus today in unbelief. Don't come to Jesus today denying the Bible and the power of God. Don't come to Jesus, if Jesus was standing in front of you today, don't come to Jesus to put him right on his theology. It's a little bit arrogant, because you're coming to the Son of God. Don't come to Jesus arrogantly confident that you know the truth. You know what's going to happen at the end times or whatever. Don't come to Jesus to try and catch him out. The Bible says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. It won't end well, folks. Your life won't end well if you put the Lord your God to the test. Imagine just for a moment coming to the pearly gates, which don't exist in the Bible, so don't imagine that. So imagine instead coming to Judgment Day, which is what those pearly gates are all about. Confident that you've got it all right about Jesus and God. Confident that you have your life based on the truth. Only to discover you got it all wrong. And to be sent down to judgment and hell rather than receiving that rich welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Don't ask stupid questions of Jesus. It never ends well. Instead, listen to Jesus, learn from Jesus, encounter God, encounter Jesus in your life. So first of all, and very briefly, listen to Jesus. In 2017, I had the opportunity to meet with a Christian multimillionaire businessman in his enormous mansion in Yorkshire. It's totally true. I was given the opportunity of having a one-to-one meeting with him over lunch. And I expected I would have about half an hour with this very rich and wealthy Christian businessman. I went to present our big building project plans to him and to try and get him to give us some money towards the big plans that we had to knock this building down and build a big 400-seat auditorium and all the rest of it we were going to do. And so my aim was to try to persuade him to give us some money. I thought I'd better try to impress him, so I went with a jacket and tie, and he was dressed in jeans and a T-shirt. I tried to present to him our church building project, but he really wasn't interested. But he was interested in me, and he was offering me his friendship. And in actual fact, he offered me and us something far more valuable than money for our building project. And over the next 3 hours, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I thought I was going to be going in for this lunch and then I'd be kicked out of the door. And I was even more surprised I wasn't kicked out of the door, since I was dressed inappropriately and was asking him for money. But over the next 3 hours, he shared his wisdom, he shared his faith, he shared his knowledge, he shared his understanding, and I sat there listening and taking it all in. And we're still good friends. We have a relationship together. And his friendship and this relationship's been incredibly fruitful for my life, for my ministry. It's been incredibly fruitful for this church, but we've received absolutely no money for our building project. You see, I went to him with my agenda, but he and God had a different agenda. I needed to listen to him to understand God's agenda for my life and for this church. What I would say, give that illustration to say, don't go to Jesus with your agenda, like the Sadducees did. Listen to him. Understand God's agenda for your life. Understand God's agenda for this church. Listen to what God is saying to you through Jesus as you listen and learn from him. What does Jesus say to the Sadducees? He says, you've got it all wrong. You need to know the scriptures. You need to experience the power of God in your lives. Listen to Jesus. Only he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Only Jesus is the way to eternal life. Only Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Only Jesus can save you from sin and deliver you from death and hell. It's only Jesus who can do that. Listen to Jesus. Don't listen to any other religion, philosophy, cult leader, powerful preacher, whoever it may happen to be, telly person, whatever it may happen to be. Listen to Jesus. Secondly, briefly, learn from Jesus. Jesus says in his reply to the Sadducees, it is only those who are considered worthy who will share in the resurrection. Jesus is clearly saying that we cannot earn our way to heaven by good works. Did you realize that? Because none of us is worthy. However good your life may be, however good your life may have been, however many old ladies you've helped across roads, however many neighbors you've been kind to, however many good works that you've done, none of us is worthy. However good our lives have been, we all fall short of God's standard, don't we? Every single one of us. We fall short of God's standard because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. You know, we think we're doing quite well on the scale. You know, we're not as bad as Hitler. Maybe we're not quite as good as some super spiritual person, you know, Mother Teresa or whatever. We're somewhere in the middle. We're not doing too bad. But the problem is the scale isn't the ceiling. The scale is infinity because God is above all things. None of us can live a perfect life. Who does God consider worthy to enter heaven and resurrection life? Only those who have repented of their sin, believed in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for their sin, who are born again as children of God by the Spirit of God. The question is not whether you believe in a particular philosophy or theology or biblical truth. The question is, have you repented of your sin? Have you believed in Jesus and his death on the cross for your sin? Have you received Jesus into your life? Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Are you a child of God? And that's the challenge to each one of us. If you are, your resurrection to eternal life is guaranteed. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You are guaranteed, not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, but because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross and his victory over the death through the resurrection. Your resurrection to eternal life is guaranteed, not because you've got your theology and life in perfect order, but because you've repented of the mess of your life, believed in him, so that you can begin to get your life in order. And that's what it means to encounter God. When Jesus answers the Sadducees' wrong theology, he takes them back to an encounter with God that is very interesting, because he takes them back to an encounter with God that is at the very heart of their Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the books of the law. He takes them right back to an encounter with God. It's the story of Moses and the burning bush. I think most of us, if not all of us, know that story of Moses and the burning bush, where Moses encounters God, where God calls Moses' name, where God told Moses to take off his sandals, for this place is holy. It's holy place, where God revealed to Moses who he is, that he is the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where God calls and commissions Moses out of this burning bush, which is not consumed, to go and set his people free from the land of Egypt, and where God promises Moses that he will be with him, that when God reveals to Moses his name, Yahweh, the personal name of God. And this encounter with God changed the whole direction of Moses' life. It transformed Moses and the Jewish people forever. And Jesus says to the Sadducees, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive. Jesus says to me and to you today, you can argue about philosophy and theology and sociology and any other ology. You can argue about different interpretations of the Bible or different expressions of church. You might like the, you know, you might have really enjoyed today with the, you know, the dedication, and or you might prefer a much more quiet, reverential, solemn service. It doesn't matter, different expressions of church. It doesn't matter different styles of worship. What really matters and what is really important is to encounter Jesus, to encounter God, to meet with God, to hear him speak to us, to you, to be called and commissioned by Jesus, to worship him because we realize we're in the presence of Jesus, to realize that we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, and to come and to bow and to worship him for who he is. That's why in this church we love to sing about the greatness of God. You know, when we, you know, I love it when we worship, I can point upwards. So it's not about us, it's not about me. It's about giving glory to God, to worship the Lord God Almighty, to worship Jesus in all his majesty and authority, to meet with him, to hear him speak to us. Let's put aside today our doubts, our disagreements, our arguments, our stupid questions that we can all come up with. Let us encounter Jesus. Let's draw near to him. Let's see his power at work. Let's hear his voice speaking to us. Let's recognize that we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. And this is the holy place. To encounter him, to fall at his feet in reverence, in worship, in praise from our whole hearts. And you know, if you will come in repentance, you may have had a really naff week. You know you've messed up this week. You know you can come afresh to Jesus today. You can just simply confess the things you did, the things you thought, the things you said, the things you didn't do that you should have done, the things you didn't say that you should have said, and everything else. And you can just share that with Jesus. Repent of that sin. You can say, I believe that you died on the cross to pay the price for that sin. And you rose victorious over that sin, the death that I deserved, and that you can give me eternal life in heaven. Encountering Jesus. Encountering Jesus. Draw near to him and experience him today. Don't argue with God. In summary, don't argue with God. Don't ask stupid questions of Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Encounter Jesus in a new way today. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, as we come towards the end of this service, Lord, I pray. Lord, as we just picture ourselves in front of you, and Lord, you invite us to ask you a question. Lord, help us to respond to you. Help us to encounter you. Help us to repent of our sin, to believe in Jesus and his death on the cross for our sin. Lord, help us, Lord, to know the power of your resurrection. Lord, help us if we're not already born again by the Spirit of God to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that right now that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be working upon each one of us today. Lord, whether we are in this room, Lord, whether we're in the overflow, Lord, whether we're watching on the live stream, Lord, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, Lord, would be at work in our lives today, that we would have a fresh encounter of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, that as we have that fresh encounter with you, Lord, that our lives would begin to be transformed. Lord, as we know with confidence that, Lord, we are among the whoever. When Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die because we will share eternal life with you in glory. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, the wonderful good news of the gospel. Lord, we pray for that transformational power of God as we encounter you in our lives. Lord, we pray. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.